Hello and welcome to the Raptors Ration Podcast on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, brought to you by Campbell's new chunky spicy soup. It's time to get fired up. We're fired up. Raptors win. I can't believe that it has taken this long. Obviously, this season has been really unfortunate. There's been a lot of adversity. It changes nothing in the bottom line. But it feels good to say that. We've gone 15 straight games without hearing that. I've gone 15 straight games of saying, hello and welcome, the Raptors look terrible. No, hello and welcome, the Raptors won the game tonight. 117-111. And yes, it's mostly just consolation. Mostly it's just like, you know, you're running into the Bucks at the right time. No Giannis. I don't care. I saw the Raptors put together a roster with, actual rotation players. And we saw the Raptors not just play with those players, because some of these guys have been in as part of this losing streak, which is now over at 15, thankfully. That is the second longest losing streak in franchise history. But there was a real chance that the Raptors could have finished the year, losing out 21 straight, or even matching the losing streak of 17 from a team that won 16 games back in the day that started the season 1-19. Like, this team is not that bad. And you just didn't want to see it end up in that way. And of course, you know, when you're thinking about the lottery, Raptors were pretty much set. Like, we're kind of stuck at six. We weren't gonna drop three more games against Portland, at which point it would just be a coin toss anyway. And you were not going to, you know, win enough games to force a coin toss with Memphis, because they're three games behind them. So, you know what? Just go out there and put your guys together and put something into this moment, right? You know, there is still something left to fight for, and, you know, not fight for in terms of results, in terms of going to the playoffs, that's already over, but you know what? Fight for pride. Like, I don't know what else to say. You play the game to try to win, and the Raptors have been putting together the lineups that, due to the circumstances, due to whatever, have just not been enough. We saw that last game, unacceptable, 48 points loss in Minnesota. It doesn't matter the context. It just doesn't, like, 48 points is 48 points. When we start giving out free chances to lose by 48 points and everything's okay, you are throwing all your standards out the window. And this was a great chance for the Raptors to actually come out and respond. The Bucks, they've been losing. They lost to the Grizzlies, lost to the Pistons. Raptors, no worse than those two other teams right now, especially when what the guys that they actually had available. Kelly's back in the lineup. Gary's back in the lineup. RJ's back in the lineup. Quickly's been playing. Ochai Agbaji's back in the group. I'm really happy to see him. And not just that, but again, it's not just about the players coming back in. It's how hard they played. You know what you saw here tonight? You saw the Raptors multiple times rotating and helping each other. And it's not like Darko put in a new defense overnight. It's not like Darko has coached them up and drilled them up from game to game. Last game where they gave up 100 or whatever, like to this game where, you know, they do a great job helping each other. It's effort. It's communication. It's pride. It kicked in tonight. The amount of times you saw the Raptors rotate and help each other. Gary Trent Jr. rotating, helping each other. RJ Barrett rotating, helping at the rim. You know, Emmanuel Quickly, you know, with the rebounding. I mean, the guy gave you 11 rebounds. And on a night where, of course, you know, the Raptors obviously need more rebounding, especially against a bigger team in the Bucks. Even without Giannis, they're still bigger. And Kelly's going to need some help on that front. Quickly steps up, 11 rebounds. And the Raptors ultimately, you know, played a really together game. The starting lineup was really good. And, you know, the Raptors came out strong. They came out sharp. They gave up the lead because, you know, they started turning the ball over. They had an issue with turnovers for a while. And, you know, that was some of the starters. That was also some of the second unit as well. But once they got going in the second half, Raptors offense started looking a lot better. They made timely shots. And guess what? This is the joy of feeling a win. It's not going to change anything in the lottery. I promise you. It's okay to win a game here. It's okay to win another game too, actually. Now, it's not okay to win the rest of the season. You will, you know, genuinely ruin your lottery odds. But we know that that's not necessarily something on the table for them. But this game, they played really together and they played great. And honestly, the Bucks. I mean, if these were the old days, it would be a slander pod on the Bucks. It would be a slander pod about Doc Rivers. All right. How are you 15-16 with this team? How have you managed to lose to the Grizzlies, the Pistons, and now the Raptors? And, yo, like, this team is just, honestly, even putting the Doc thing aside, because whatever, like, Doc is whatever, right? But the funniest thing watching this team for the Bucks is just like how old and lazy they are. Like, I don't know. Like, it's something you see at times with other groups. Like, I would say that you see this sometimes with the Lakers. You would see this sometimes with the Clippers. They get, you know, the Warriors. Like, these older teams sometimes get a little lazy. Like, it's what, April 5th? You're seeing the Raptors at home. You're like, this team's on a 15-game losing streak. They just came off of 48, getting smacked by 48. What do we need to do to this one? We just need to walk in and just get this win. But these guys, it's just 30-year-old after 30-year-old after 30-year-old. The Milwaukee Bucks should be called the Milwaukee Hinge. Like, it's like a bad dating app at this point. It's just a bunch of 30-year-old dudes lazily groping because that's how they play defense. I mean, the Raptors crunch time offense at the end. I mean, like, we got like one or two buckets. Like, RJ got in on a duck in, and honestly, there was not even that much else. It was just free throws down the stretch for the Raptors. And it wasn't like, oh, the Raptors running some great scheme and then they're getting an advantage and the Bucks had to foul them to prevent a layup. The Bucks are just committing the worst fouls you would see. Like, you would be disappointed to see the Raptors commit some of those fouls. And just to describe a couple, okay? Because again, this is all in a one possession game late in the game. These are some of the Bucks fouls. Kelly Olynyk is coming up to set a screen for the ball, and Bobby Portis for some reason just grabs him by the hand. Take me somewhere new. I don't know I don't know Our Believing lyrics anymore, because I used to love that song. But in any case, Bobby Portis just grabs Kelly by the hand and just like yanks him, and for like a solid 5 seconds until the referee's like, yo, that's a foul. And guess what, the Raptors are in the bonus, so Kelly's gonna go to the foul line and make both. Or Damian Lillard, who in this game, you know, was real hit and miss, but still a threat. I mean, it's Dame time, crunch time. You're like, I don't know if I really, it can be a little scary, okay? But Damian Lillard on five fouls, first off, he misses a wide open, like, 10-foot pull-up, but then compounds that by jumping over RJ Barrett's back after RJ already got the rebound to try to get, you know, atone for his mistake, and he ends up fouling RJ, and it's like, yeah, it is kind of shocking to see Dame foul out, but, like, what are you doing? You just got to get back on D. Just hold that one possession. Instead, Dame fouls out. RJ goes to the foul line, makes both. And then this one, I think it was just the funniest possession of the entire fourth quarter. You had, again, just a regular pick and roll with IQ and Kelly. It wasn't like IQ and Kelly were cooking them all night on pick and rolls. Like, at this point of the fourth quarter, they haven't even run like one or two good ones yet. And in that process, they switched Andre Jackson in order to prevent Kelly from rolling to the basket. Andre Jackson is the forward, but he was guarding quickly on the ball. He switches on to Kelly, but instead of just switching and working to stay in front, or even just like hustling back and denying the pass over the top with the hand or something, he instead grabs Kelly to prevent the roll. Clearly, Kelly's a smart guy. Kelly definitely knows how to fall, but it's clearly a foul. And Kelly goes to the foul line for another two. And in the process, guess what? Bobby Portis also shoves Emmanuel quickly to the ground on the switch. And, you know, that ended up being reviewed and it being called a tech. So they ran a pick and roll where the Raptors got no advantage. And both Raptors got fouled. Quickly got fouled. Kelly got fouled. Quickly made the technical free throw. Kelly made the other two free throws. That put the Raptors up four with like 15 seconds left. Like, what are the Bucks doing? And yeah, they had a couple, whatever, like Chris Middleton made a step back three. They had another open step back three that both against Kelly. And Kelly just, man, I mean, listen, Kelly, step back threes were a little nasty to see Kelly try to guard against Chris Middleton. But you know what? I have to say, it is still Chris Middleton. I know Chris has won a championship since the two times the Raptors have played the Bucks a couple years in the past, but I don't know. From what I saw in those series, I will never fully respect Chris. But still, the step back threes, the second one, had a chance to tie, couldn't make it. Or I had a chance to lead, couldn't make it. And yeah, the Raptors ultimately get the rebound, and you know, they go from there and they secure the win. It was a really good effort. Like I said, defensively, that was the key. The Raptors really helping each other defensively. Multiple times you saw, you know, the Raptors like, you know, again, just help each other on defense. You know, the traps on Dame, forcing a couple of like half court violations where guys would step out of the, you know, over the court, whatever, over the halfway line. you saw the Raptors like rotate at the basket. Obviously, Brooke Lopez was going to be an issue early in the game. You know, Dame and Brooke, the pick and roll combination there was giving the Raptors issues, as you would expect. Like, you don't want to see Kelly switch on to Dame, and you don't want to give up a pick and pop wide open to Brooke Lopez. Although, again, Brooke Lopez, I don't know. Every time he shoots a three, I hear the I hear the infamous heckler from the Eastern Conference Finals in 2019 being like, "You are horrible." Like, or my favorite, "Get in the painted area." Yeah, get in the painted area, because the threes weren't dropping for Brooke. Then he started getting into the painted area, and the Raptors did a great job. Gary coming over with the strip. You know, the Raptors, RJ came over with a help block as well. They just did a really good job of helping each other in these moments. And look, the Bucks didn't have Giannis. And I even said it today on the show when we did the show at, you know, we preview the game as we always do. And I thought, like, look, if Giannis isn't playing, the Raptors actually have a real chance to cover. The spread was like 15 points. And of course, like, obviously the line was moving because the fact that the Raptors had more players coming in and the Bucks had Giannis ruled out. But like, still, there was a large expectation for the Bucks to come in, and it's a prime opportunity for them to snap their streak, you know, maintain the number two seed. That's going to be a lot, obviously, better than having to play like, you know, well, actually, I don't even know. 3-6 might be the same kind of matchup. But in any case, you still want to, like, just, it's the Raptors on a 15-game losing streak. Like, you should be handling business at home. But the Raptors did a great job, and I thought they played with pride. I thought they played so hard. I thought, especially the starting five in particular, did great. I mean, the only guy off the bench that was productive was Grady Dick. I thought the less that we saw of Jalen McDaniels, the better. The less that we saw of Jordan Wara, the better. Those two guys were not contributing. Minus 11 for the pair of them. You know, you saw Malik Williams come in the first half, play 2 minutes. Second half, they went with Jalen McDaniels at backup center. You know, threw a nice pass, but like, other than that, just wasn't a contributor. And then Javon from Liberty, you know, made some ill-advised drives. It felt like he just wanted to put his head down and drive. I would expect just a little bit more discretion from a guard. Like, part of, like, you know, the job description for a guard is, like, you're going to be a really, you know, a good decision maker, and you're going to be safe with the ball, and you're going to, like, you know, again, just make good decisions. You would expect that from guards, especially ball handlers, more than you would from, you know, the other positions. And, yeah, you just didn't quite see that from Javon off the second unit. Grady actually knocked down 2 threes. He actually turned down 1 3, which really did bother me, and it was pointed out on the broadcast as well. But Grady did a really good job of contributing. He had jumped in for a tap-in banking putback at the end of the first half, and then in the second half, the ball swung to him. He attacked a closeout against AJ Green and went like double pump reverse midair on a windmill to finish the layup, driving baseline. Super athletic play. Hashtag more than a shooter, right? Five rebounds for Grady as well. Also coming in and helping, trying to, you know, get some deflections and steals. Try to take some couple charges, you know, just didn't quite work out. Grady did take his first charge, by the way, and was against Giannis early in the very early in the season, like game five-ish. By the way, the Raptors won the season series against the Bucks. Like, how are you going to be the number two seed in the East, but you lost the season series to the Toronto Raptors, who have 24 wins? Like, unserious team. But in any case, yeah, Grady just couldn't really, like, you know, just fully commit to some of these charges and end up giving some blocking fouls. But still, it really came down to the starting five. And I thought, you know, Kelly did a really good job. You know, the pick and roll was mostly used tonight. Probably the Raptors don't typically run like that much pick and roll, but they used it a lot tonight, especially with the Bucks, with Brook Lopez in a deep drop. You know, you needed Kelly to set that high screen to give quickly a chance to turn the corner, and quickly was definitely giving them a lot of fits. I mean, he had 15 trips to the foul line, including I think 13 of those in the second half, and then he also nailed a bunch of pull-up threes as well. It got to the point where the Bucks really started to change their whole defense to cover for quickly. Number one, they put in Andre Jackson Jr., who did a really good job coming in, being physical, being aggressive, and just applying a bunch of ball pressure on quickly. I thought quickly really struggled with that. But they also trap quickly a lot too. And so the Raptors really needed a screener on the ball to get quickly space, and needed a decision maker and an outlet. And I thought Kelly did both jobs really well. And the thing, nice thing with when you give the player the ball in the mid range, like, he's not necessarily guaranteed to roll hard to the basket. I mean, he's guaranteed not to roll hard to the basket. What he's guaranteed to do is catch the ball in the middle of the floor, be a really good threat to pass, but also, like, just wiggle and shake and, like, pump fake and then, like, scoop his way into layups and free throws from that position. So I thought the two of those guys working pick and roll worked really, really well. And, of course, when quickly touched the paint too, he's able to do a really good job of kicking out as well. The Raptors in the start of the game really, like, rush their offense, I thought, and that actually led to the Raptors committing a bunch of turnovers that allowed the Bucks to go the other way and score. When they settled that part down, they did a much better job of executing the half court in the second half, and I think that that's where you saw Gary, RJ provide timely contributions. RJ, honestly, like, he had 26 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, a block, 5 turnovers, 8 of 18 shooting, 1 of 4 from 3, 9 of 11 from the foul line. I mean, the 9 of 11 from the foul line is amazing. RJ's been shooting like 50% from free throws for like the last like 2 months worth or whatever. So, you know, it's encouraging they did that, including some in crunch time. But for me, RJ just like was a little bit too aggressive tonight. A lot of moments where he forced up bad shots or got himself tied up or charged into sort of certain possessions. Like, I just think that RJ could have picked his spots a lot better, and that actually tanked a lot of his positive contribution, because he put a lot on the table, there's no doubt, but he also took a lot off the table as well. Gary, conversely, I thought did an amazing job. Defensively, first off, he did a really good job guarding. All right, he came out and switched on to Dame a couple times. He also played some good help defense as well. Disruptive, got a steal at one point, took it the other way for the layup. Just, you know, I think that actually put the Raptors ahead at one point when they were battling back in the second quarter. They won that one 37-27 to go into halftime with the lead, which was quite important, I thought. They certainly earned it. But you never know, like, you know, if you don't finish out strong, you might end up, you know, ruining the fact that you don't take the lead. The Raptors did take the lead. And then Gary with two, you know, just super crucial, vital threes in crunch time, where, you know, in the fourth quarter, where, you know, the Bucks had made a couple of shots and it was like, okay, it's a tie game where the Bucks take the lead. And Gary knocked down a three right as the Bucks took their brief lead by 1 point in the fourth quarter. And then he took down another three after I think Dame hit a three just to answer. So, you know, just really good. And Gary tonight finishes with 31 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, 11 of 22 from the field, 7 of 15 from 3. Just did an amazing job in his role. And speaking of amazing job, I feel like Ochai actually deserves a lot of love here. Like, Ochai's job is obviously not to come in and do that much offensively. I mean, the man had 2 shots, went 1 for 2, and it went 1 for 2 from the foul line. But what Ochai did do is, you know, he allowed Quickly to, first off, save his energy offensively, because now he's actually the one guarding at Damian Lillard. Because I don't think Quickly can give you 25 points, 11 rebounds, 9 assists for a near triple-double if he also has to guard Dame, right? But I think what Ochai did was he was able to put a lot of pressure on Dame. And listen, Dame is still going to be Dame. He had 36 points before he fouled out. This guy could have easily had a 40-piece, done some heroics late game, but I guess we'll never know. But in any case, in the moments where Ochai was on Dame, he made him work. He was very athletic. I think one of the things with Ochai is he's able to jump and contest even when he is like mid-stride. So like he doesn't have to like come to a stop or like rest. He ends up jumping and contesting really well, especially against drives on step backs and things like that. And I thought he just gave Dame like, you know, a difficult time in terms of getting that separation that he needed. Now, did Dame also score a bunch? Yeah, for sure. But I think, honestly, Ochai did a really good job in that primary matchup. And when you tell me that Dame, being the whole offense for Milwaukee in this game, shoots 10 of 24, knocks down 4 threes, and goes to the foul line 14 times, like, it is what it is. But he also has 6 assists versus 7 turnovers, and he ended up fouling out the game. So, like, I'm actually pretty cool with the way that Ochai guarded. And I think on the other end, Ochai, you saw him sky for some really athletic rebounds, just finding ways to use his athleticism. 3 offensive rebounds tonight, 3 steals, or 3 assists, 1 steal. Some really nice actually driving setups too. He like got a Kelly for a pick and pop as well at one point. But just picked his spots well. I mean, look, listen, you had 4 other creators in the starting group. Kelly had it, Gary definitely had it, RJ had it sometimes, and then Quickly was able to really generate a lot of like momentum. So you needed Ochai to just fill in, and I thought he did his role really well. He had a couple times where he just fell out of bounds late in the game with the ball, which was a little bit frustrating. It was like, you know, you would have wished, for example, he held his bounds or at least was able to pass it to a teammate while falling over. But still, like, you can't knock the hustle, and I thought Ochai did a great job. So, like, overall, it was a great experience to see the Raptors, you know, play a game that meant something, play a game that, you know, felt fun to watch. I know that, you know, there's been so much, you know, just look, it's not even like they don't deserve it. Like, it's just, you just can't lose by 48 under any circumstances. And yes, the season is pretty much over. Yes, they're drawing out the string, but like, there are still games to be played. There's still NBA games. This is not summer league. This is not preseason. You know, like, let's try to get something out of this. And, you know, for the Raptors, when you see their group come in, you know, you can change the narrative. It's like, you know what? They lost 15 games at the end of the season because they didn't have players available. But when they did have players available, they were able to come in and get you a result. This, you know, that's a one game, but it does change and flip the perspective on a lot of these games. And guess what? Like, that actually does matter. Because you might look at the season, you might look at the record, but you can also look at the fact that they made a big transition, they changed over a lot of those players, and how do those players specifically adapt to their new conditions? And I think Kelly has fit in really seamlessly. I think he probably should be a reserve. I mean, you look at his defense, for example, against Chris Middleton late, like, that's tough, right? Chris Middleton, like, dropping him off twice, back-to-back, that almost literally ended the game, you know, in terms of just defensively. You know, but the way he's moved the ball, the way he's rolled, the way he's operated with IQ, with RJ, that stuff is seamless, you know? And we already know that Kelly had a really good chemistry with Grady when they were coming off the bench together, right? Then when you look at RJ and IQ, overall, they've just been really strong. Like, IQ, you would love to see him be able to create a shot a little bit better one-on-one. I thought he struggled with Andre Jackson Jr.'s physicality defensively. We know he's slender, you know, and obviously there's going to be times you got to hide him defensively as well. You know, again, like the fact that Ochai had to take Dame, for example. But he does bring a lot positively offensively. He is a good floor general. He does sort of set up his teammates really well. He knows when to pick his moments on the fast break. You know, he knows when to push. He has that pull-up threat, especially against drops. That's a good counter here. And then when he gets downhill, he's not selfish. I would love for him to improve finishing, but he's not a finished product. But he's still a player that very much can generate a lot of offense for you. Like, you look at this game, right? Dame goes for 36 points and 6 assists, right? So let's say those 6 assists, let's give 2 points for every assist. So that's 36 points plus 12 assisted points. So that's like 48 points. You do the same thing for Quickly. If you give, you know, Quickly's 9 assists times 2, that's 18 assisted points plus his 25 points. That's 43 points. Like, that's 43 versus 48. And that's Quickly versus Dame, right? So, like, that's really, really promising for what I thought what Quickly did. And against the Bucks defense that isn't necessarily good but can be tricky. Like, they do have Brook Lopez in the middle. And for a while, the Raptors were really just generating enough offense just based on, like, mid-range pull-ups or driving floaters. And Gary did a bit of that. Quickly did a bit of that. But, like, you knew that wasn't going to be sustainable for the whole game. Like, you know, you're not going to win a whole game, really, just based off floaters and stuff. But what you did see is that the Raptors ultimately, eventually, limited Brooks' availability and took some of his effectiveness. And the Bucks did go smaller. Actually, why did Doc Rivers go so small? Wait, Brook Lopez played 20 minutes? There must be a bigger story there. I know he wanted to go smaller with Bobby Portis, but, like, it wasn't like Bobby Portis was hitting that many from three. I feel like that's what he needs to do. That or just, like, kill the offensive glass, which, you know, he did get 6 offensive rebounds, so he did that part. But, like, defensively, I just didn't think they were executing. And then, again, like, the Bucks, you know what? The Bucks really did have every opportunity to win this late in the game, except they gave the Raptors so many pointless free throws. So that's obviously, you know, the Bucks in a difficult moment right now. But still, for the Raptors side, you won't care because the Raptors ultimately do get this result, and they do actually, you know, snap this ghastly 15-game losing streak. And it doesn't change the lottery odds, right? It doesn't change what's going to happen this season in terms of where the Raptors are. But you know what? Like, it does at least keep you from losing everything at the end of the year. And there was a real fear of that, you know? And now at least you see the players available and they come in and give you a result. So you could tell by my voice, I'm ecstatic. Maybe it's just because I, you know, my job is this and, you know, I'm really tied into this. But I know a lot of other Raptor fans are like this too. Like, yes, you could think the rational side of this and that. But, like, the other side is like, yo, you actually need to at least give us something to hold on to. Like, you know what? If they lose the rest of the season, okay, that'd be pretty ghastly too. But, like, get one or two more results and then, like, you know what? Give us something to look forward to in the summer. Like, you know what? When everyone's healthy and available, you know, there's something here. And honestly, I'm happy, by the way, most of all for Gary. And actually, you know what? Before I talk about Gary, I'm going to bring you a message from our sponsor. Are you ready to get fired up for the next game? Nothing helps more than a bowl of Campbell's new chunky spicy chicken noodle soup. Let me tell you, it's got tons of seasoned chicken, veggies, and noodles all in a tasty, spicy broth. So it'll fill you up and get you fired up. So take your day to the next level, see if you can handle the heat with the new chunky spicy chicken noodle soup. Yeah, your 3 stars from tonight's performance. First star is going to Gary Trent Jr. And before I give the other 2 stars, I got to really commend Gary. Like, there's a lot of moments at the end of the season where he could have disconnected. If he's an impending free agent, if he wasn't invested in coming back to Toronto, I mean, listen, we've seen a lot of guys tap out, and we know what that looks like performance-wise. Gary has stayed engaged. Now, is Gary a perfect player? No. Is he going to have moments that kind of leave you baffled, like, okay, he missed a layup here, or, you know what, in transition here, he was a little spaced out, or defensively, he was a little spaced out, or, like, he took an aggressive shot here or there, and it didn't really work? Of course. Do you wish you saw, like, more well-rounded performance? For sure. But I have not looked at this last month of the season where it's been really difficult for the Raptors and ever thought to myself, Gary looks like he's checked out. He's not even giving the Raptors what he has to give. What he has to give, he's given, and he's tried, and he's competed. And you saw here tonight, the defense he played against Dame, the rotations he made, the fact that, you know, he has the ability to score like this, because it wasn't like he got easy buckets. There were some tough buckets in there. Some like contested runners, floaters, mid-range, you know, the threes weren't easy as well. A lot of them are top of the floor. They're contested too. Some of them deep. Like, there's a skill set there. Now, he's not a perfect player, but like, I salute Gary, man. When he puts on the Raptors uniform, I really do feel like, you know, he competes in it. And I know the bar is low, but the bar been low. And I feel like Gary's been, I'm just happy he had this game. Like, this is probably his best game of the season. But salute to him. And I hope his back is okay. Or, you know, he's been in and out of the games or whatever. But still, strong performance here tonight. Second star, I'm going to give that to quickly. 25 points, 11 rebounds, 9 assists, 3 steals. 4 of 12 shooting is not great, but it didn't force a shot. 3 of 8 from 3, 14 of 15 from the free throw line. Like I just said, he did a great job of, you know, generating a lot of offense. I thought he was really engaged with his help defense as well. Yeah, just really strong. And then your third star. Okay, I'm going to give it to RJ, but I got to acknowledge that, like, RJ can cut down, like, 5 mistakes from a game like this and improve his plus-minus by, like, 10. There was just too many, like, driving into a crowd or forcing a bad shot or defensively losing his position or, like, not boxing out. It's just, like, the little focus things for RJ. It's just a little bit more. Because he's doing the hardest things and he's leaving some of the easiest things on the table. The hardest things is how much he touches the paint. This guy will drive to the paint like 20 times a game. It's actually kind of incredible. Since RJ's joined the Raptors, he has driven the ball more than any other player. In terms of per game basis, RJ Barrett's driven the ball more than when Pascal was here, more than Scotty Barnes has all season, more than like their point guards and quickly and Dennis for the year. And he's also shot a better percentage than all these guys. Like, there is such a value in that. And he's doing the hard part, but it's recognizing the little bit of moments. And I think especially defensively, when you go back, you will find these gaffes. You cut those out, you really increase your productivity overall. And it's not even that hard. Like, these are some of the inefficiencies that, not even talking about inefficiencies like bad shots, because he's not really doing that at all. But inefficiencies in terms of just like what he needs to do a little bit more to contribute towards winning. And I know you can do it. Your Jared Henderson Award winner. I kind of give it to Doc Rivers. Like, I was like, maybe Andre Jackson Jr., you know, he was hustling. Like, this guy had 3 points and 4 rebounds. Yeah, he forced a stop here or there, but like, what are the standards here, man? This guy, like McDaniels posted a similar stat line to him. Not to say that McDaniel, I would obviously definitely take Andre Jackson Jr., but like, what am I doing, man? It's Doc Rivers, man. Thank you, Doc. It's just, he provides great entertainment. Like, he's like the easiest, like, I swear Doc's got like a kick me sign on his back. Like, that's his whole aura and his whole vibe. And yeah, man, it's tough. Like, it's tough. I don't know. But the Bucks have so many 30-year-olds, so many expectations, and the product is just so underwhelming. It's been that way all season, even when they're winning, and now they're losing, and it's even more underwhelming. So, yeah, it's always fun to be able to beat the Bucks in any circumstance. And I know it's shameless. Like, the Raptors are obviously way worse in the season, but this feels good. This feels good. Raptors get a day off, return home. They play Washington, then they play in Indiana. Those are their last two games of the regular season at home. And yeah, like I said, they can afford to get a win here or there. It does feel pretty damn good when you do it. So thanks everyone for listening. Please continue to rate, review, subscribe to the Raptors show. We don't have that many shows left. We don't have that many games left. You know, you got to savor everything that we can get. And I'm savoring these React Pods with you guys in these last couple shows. And I honestly, I'm just going to say it now. We got an incredible show for you on Monday. And here's the guest we have for Monday. Marc Gasol. That's right. 2019 Raptors champion Marc Gasol recorded the interview with Mark Friday afternoon. after the Raptor show. And obviously Mark's getting his jersey retired in Memphis. Well deserved. And I'm so happy for him. And he is such a class act. And we got to talk to Mark today in the afternoon. So obviously we don't have a show over the weekend, so we'll play it for you on Monday. But yeah, look forward to that. And again, just savor these, man. This is really, really something that, you know, especially when they win, it gives me obviously a lot of energy. I'm sure if you're listening right now, you could definitely tell. But yeah, for me, especially anytime the season's over, I'm going to miss it. And I know it's been a bumpy ride and a really negative one. Today we talked all about like, oh, ownership changes potentially. You know, MLS scene, you got a new CEO. Does that mean Masai's gone? You know, like whatever. Like, you know, that's just that's the business side. And you might got to look at the reality sometimes too. But like still, at the end of the day, when you feel this, when you watch it, when you actually see the wins, you know, it does remind you of what's important and why you do this. And yeah, I felt really rejuvenated by this game. So thanks everyone for listening. Please continue to review and subscribe to the Raptors Show. And you've been listening to the Raptors Reaction Podcast, brought to you by Campbell's New Chunky Spicy Seasoning.